Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه نستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك. We begin with Allah's name. most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. All the praise is due to Almighty God, Allah. We ask him for help. We turn to him for forgiveness. We believe and trust in him. Mighty and sublime is he. Glory is to you, O Allah, and to you is the praise. And blessed is your name, and there is none to be worshipped beside you. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. That is peace be unto you. Welcome to the Airways of American Muslim 360 for another broadcast of the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose. I am your host, Kareem Hamid, along with you this Saturday morning as we enter into another study session of the addresses and lectures of Imam Waris-ud-Din Muhammad. Praise be to Almighty God. We seek to engage the group intellect and to glean from the featured lectures of Imam Muhammad's knowledge, wisdom, and direction for the practical application in our personal and community lives. These sessions are open to all well-meaning human beings. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. I have made a selection for this study session. It is an address entitled Khalifa, the Role of Moral Life. The Role of Moral Life. I strongly suggest, if you would, to have pen and a paper handy, take down notes, and be willing to share what Allah bless you with from out of these addresses and lectures of Imam Waris-ud-Din Muhammad. Be willing to share them inside of this study group. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. Without further ado, let me begin this lecture. It is entitled Khalifa, the Role of Moral Life. May we all benefit from the hearing. Praise be to Allah.
Moral teachers, good people, to help other people. He says, never hope, I quote now what is in the scripture, never was there a community of people that didn't receive a messenger from God. So God raised up prophets or messengers from among all the people. This is the teaching of our holy book. And I believe it is also the idea in the Bible. I'm a student of the Bible also. Yes. So I read the religion, trying to read something on the religions of the world, and I was impressed by something in the tribal religion of the Native American people, because I thought it to be the likeness of what is in the Quran. The Native American people, we call Indians of this part of the world, of this continent and the lower continent, North and South America, they had a belief, and still have a belief, some of them, that everything that exists, trees, rivers, wind, rain, stars, everything, the earth, the things that come out of the earth, that grow out of the earth, including ourselves, everything has a message to man's mind, a message for man's thinking, for man's conscience, thinking, a message. This is exactly what God says to us in our Holy Book. God says, there are signs in the heavens and signs in the earth, and also there are signs in you. And God also says, but most people pay no attention to the signs. They go along heedless, not paying any attention to the signs. But some people do. And those messengers and prophets of God, they began their journey to truth. They were seeking truth. They were truth seekers. And seeking truth, they met God. Eventually, they met God. If they didn't give up the search, they eventually met God. They were thinkers. Later, they were called seers because they were blessed to look into nature and look at things and see more than normal or average people could see. So they were called seers, S-E-E-R-S, seers. And they were also called prophets later, prophets. Because they would see and also predict. They would see things, and based upon what they saw, they could predict, make predictions. And we have in our world the coming of the rise of man as an intelligent life or thinker, and as a leader to lead the whole life of the people, spiritual life, business life, the whole life of the people, life and community. And we see philosophers, thinkers, that's what they are, that's what they were, they were thinkers. The Quran called them thinkers. A philosopher come along with prophets because prophets also thinkers, and they brought knowledge and understanding that actually gave birth to a new breed of philosophers, another breed of philosophers, religious philosophers. But hoping to bring you is the connection for what we see as world leaders and inspired leaders that were guided by Almighty God, the creator of the world, creator of all things. There's a definite connection. We believe that not even science can be found without God's help. Science. That man didn't become knowledgeable of the sciences without God's help. I have read story of certain, well, life of certain scientists, and they said more than one, you'll find several of them among the scientists, saying that they worked, but there was and also something happening that they didn't make happen. They had no control of. For example, Pasteur, his name, the one that brought the science of how to make milk more safe to drink. And the one who discovered the vaccine. Vaccine. Yes, I know. I'm sorry. I'm not needing help right now. Thank you. But I appreciate your help. Yes, someone is talking to me in the audience. Yes. So he said he was experimenting with the germs, and he was looking for something to kill these bacteria in his experiment. Just like scientists or thinkers, deep thinkers, who concentrate their thoughts, stay with the idea, they go to sleep with their project on their mind. He had eaten a sandwich and had forgot he left it on the window sill above his experiment. So the wind blew, got strong, and blew mold offer his bread into his experiment. So one day he came and he's looking for the bacteria, and the bacteria all were dead. They were dead. All the bacteria were dead. That's how he discovered his science. He was working, but the wind blew mold into his experiment, and the mold killed the bacteria. So he got help from God. That's just one example. Like I said earlier, there are several among the scientists who say that they had this kind of help. And those who were religious, they thank God for the help they got. Those who were atheists, they charged it to an accident. Just an accident, you know? That's life. That's the world. I'm happy to be with you on this first Sunday in the beautiful weather of Allah. God Almighty has blessed us in some good weather. Beautiful sunshine, nice weather. We've been enjoying a whole week of this almost perfect weather here in the Chicago area, in Markham, my town around here, and this area, Chicago area. Beautiful weather. Couldn't ask for better. Come home at night, I want to sleep outside. Don't want to come in the house. I want to just get on the grass, put me a blanket or something like that, and sleep outside. It's perfect. Yes. So our theme today, our focus for this presentation today is Khalifa. That's an Islamic term. But it connects with Christian terms also, and with Jewish terms also, for a certain figure, certain moral figure. So this is the topic for this afternoon is Khalifa in the moral role, or in the role of moral life. Khalifa in the role of moral life. In human society, Khalifa is true human being, that God wanted to be created, male and female, men and women, our people. God wanted us to be true to the best of our human nature. Human nature is free because our minds are free. We're not like anything else God created. God created nothing with a free mind to question its own form. And if it wants to destroy its form, or build on its form, or improve upon its form, God created nothing like that except according to our religion and scripture of the people of the Book of it. Heavenly religions, we call them, the heavenly books or heavenly religions. Jinn, the only other creatures that was created to have the ability to alter his own form, nature, mind, etc. A roach lives today as a roach lived 5,000 years ago. In the palace of the Pharaoh. Haven't changed his name. He still lives the same way. Things are essentially the same life. They have maybe perhaps have multiplied, the birth have produced more species. But those that were already produced, they show no ability to alter that basic nature. That basic nature remains the same. Whereas human beings are free intelligence, free will, free intelligence and will, we can alter our own nature and form. I don't want to talk to any altered creatures, but I'm sure you perhaps will see one when you go home. Maybe more than one. Altered creatures. They are no more the types of human that God made us when he made mama and dad. Hope the world changes. Hope thinking of people who wanted to play their life changed all that. Babies come here with no intention to do anything but grow into the form that God made them for. That's the only intent they have. Every baby in Asia, in Europe, in Africa, in America, no matter where these children are born, they are all born with a spirit and a life to come into the human form that God intended for all of us. And it's only a crazy, warped-minded environment of mad people experimenting on life that alters that and makes suggestions or suggests to human minds, to the minds of our young people, as to do things against their original nature, to change and alter and even destroy their original nature. You know, nobody would have somebody come on television and spin around their head like a top upside down, called a break ass. Nobody would do that to somebody that has no respect for human life.
All right.
Spinning on their heads like a top, doing the break dance. And that's just one little thing. So many things that have happened in the last 40 or so years that make the foolishness that the world used to know look like no foolishness at all. It ain't nothing to even know in light of what has happened lately in our society. Getting back to the Khalifa and the role of moral life. Adam, the first man according to Scripture, it is said of him in religious science myth and tradition, cultural tradition, the tradition of the culture of the people, it is said that he was pure being. He was not impure, he was not immoral. He was a pure being, not immoral, not having bad behavior or bad morals or bad thinking. He remained in that pure state until Satan and Christianity, Shaitan and Islam, the devil in plain naked, seduced him out of his original nature or his original form. And thereby brought mankind, the whole family, the whole human race, to sin. This is belief in Christianity. And in Islam, we believe very similar to that, that man was deceived. It's the same story exactly when it comes to how he comes to fall or lose his human life that God put in him or God made him for. He was seduced or deceived by the Satan. We won't go into the story of how he was deceived or anything like that. That's not the purpose of this presentation. Nonetheless, he was created for moral leadership. But he lost that opportunity to continue in his growth toward more and more human excellence because he listened to the seductive voice of the Satan or the Shaitan or the devil, first devil. In the Bible, the Holy Bible, we find Adam in Genesis, and just as we find Adam in the Quran, in the beginning of the human race, or the human family. And in the Gospel, we find Jesus Christ, the only servant of God, all of them, we find Jesus Christ. And we also find in the gospel a connection for Jesus Christ with Adam. And the Bible says that Adam, that Jesus Christ, came, his lineage, his line, his lifeline, is to be traced back to Adam. So if we call Christ Jesus Christ, call him Christ, but we also have to know, if you don't know, I'm sure most of you have to know, that Adam is the father of all human beings, including Jesus Christ, Adam. Though the scripture doesn't give him an immediate father, his lineage is traced back to Adam. Now, how can that be if God is, if his father, and he had no mortal or no man or human being, male, as a father? How can that be? He had a mother. And his mother was of flesh. And his mother had a mother and a father. So from the mother's side, his bloodline is traced back to Adam, the first man. From the father's side, his mom. That should be crystal clear to you. Shouldn't be any problems yet. I hate for you to have problems. I had enough when I picked up what my father left us to work with. I had enough problems. I sure don't want to get into that. But he gave us a lot of help. He didn't give us only problems. He gave us a lot of help and also problems. I'll make that clear. Yes. So, Adam, according to Christian theology, according to Christian teachings, Adam, the first man, and Jesus Christ is the second man. Second man. Or the second Adam. The second Adam. Now, couldn't it be said, Paul, we had made mistakes. Could it be that when Jesus kept saying his father, he was talking about Adam and not God all the time? Could it be that he was saying my father and that father and then also referring to Adam sometimes? And when he said, I have to be about my father's business, we know God. The business of God is the business of keeping the whole universe, caring for all things that he made. That's the business of God. And maybe he has a big business bigger than that that we don't even know about. Who knows? I'm a free thinker myself. I'm not afraid to think, especially when I know my intentions are good. That's right. I'm afraid to think if my intentions are bad. Then I'm afraid to think. But as long as I know my intentions are good, I'm not afraid to think. I'm a free thinker. Thank Allah for that. I thank my God for that. Yes. So anyway, I can't myself come to a conclusion whether Jesus Christ is referring to the Lord who created all of us, and we all are his dependents, like children of parents, depending on their parents, you know. So I can't be sure that he was saying Adam, or saying God. I was saying God all the time when you said my father, referring to God all the time, or referring to Adam all the time when he kept saying my father, because he didn't say my father every time he referred to God. Almost all the time, but not quite all the time. Yes, but what we do know, what is established in Christian education, Christian religion education, is established that Jesus Christ is the second Adam. Second Adam. Now, The story of Genesis is to be seen in the Quran as the story of the Khalifa, where God says, before human beings were any human being were existing, he had made this world, no human being were existing. God says to the angels, he says, I am making a marvel in the earth. And God calls that marvel a Khalifa, called a Khalifa. He said, surely I'm making a Khalifa in the earth. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi Khalifa. That's in the original language of the Quran. Quranic Arabic. That's what God said. Surely I am making in the earth a Khalifa. I begin this address by referring to the Khalifa as the moral life that God intended all human beings for. The moral life that God intended all human beings for, male and female. Some thinkers in Christianity obviously don't believe that original sin, or that idea of original sin, goes all the way back to Adam before Satan seduced him. Original can mean first, too. Doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be in you. But it could have gotten in you like a germ you catch. And since it is the first one recorded for human life, it would be the first sin. But the idea that all of us are born with that, that when God made us, he made us to sin, is wrong. In my understanding as a student of the Bible, it's wrong for Christians and Jews to believe that. And in our holy book, it is not accepted that people are born. God said in our religion that he made man, made us, and made us good, not sinful, or not looking for sin, or wanting sin. We, having free mind, free thinking, and free willpower, we make choices. We choose to sin. God has made us to sin. God made us to make choices. And we are guilty of making wrong choices, not God. So this is the way to believe, and my understanding of the Bible supports that belief. It's not against it. The Bible is not against that. It supports that belief. But you have to understand it. You have to see it. And I guess you have to be looking for it. But usually you find what you're looking for, even if it's not there. Your mind is set so much on it, you think you found it. You think you found what you were looking for, and it wasn't even there. You come up with a lie. You come up with something justifying your wrongdoing. You twist the scripture. You misread, or you read something in the scripture that wasn't there. You make mistakes, even reading. And you say, yeah, this is the Bible. And if somebody really challenges you that knows the Bible, they can prove, perhaps, that it's true to you that no, that's not in the Bible the way you got it. There's something in the Bible, all right, but not the way you have it. Yeah. So getting back to the Khalifa. So God says to the angels, I'm making a Khalifa in the earth. And the angels were disturbed by that. And even challenged God. The challenge came from the jinn, who has free will. So he is a free spirit. He's a free being in his intelligence, in his spirit. He's a free being. So he didn't accept it either. And he even became a contender with God. That's one of the names of devil in religion. These religions I'm mentioning now. Contender with God. He became a contender. Jacob became a contender. And he came long time after Adam. Jacob. to challenge God's way that he accepted. And Jacob was called, and said, but he repented too. Jacob repented his way, and God renamed him because he repented his wrongdoing. God renamed him and called him Israel. He was first called Jacob, and then God gave him a new name, Israel, because he left his old tricks. Yes. Now that was only Jacob, that wasn't everybody. Those who were in the business, they stayed in the business. They didn't follow Jacob out of that business. And Satan is their leader. Yes. So the first man, did he reach the destiny? Did he reach the goal that God wants for us as human beings, developing our human life upon its excellence? No, he did not. He did not reach the goal. He was deceived by Satan, and his generation were attracted to the earth, to material things, interest in material things. And his generation, according to the Bible, and according to our understanding of his life and belonging to Adam, his generation became devoted to material things, and they developed agriculture, they developed iron-making, metalworks, they developed music, playing on instruments, and they built great buildings. In time, his descendants from him built great buildings. So we owe to them that in that first stage, or that first phase in the growth of man's life to where God wanted to go, we owe Adam in his form after he was deceived. We owe him, even though he had gone astray from the line, from the progressive line for his moral life, he had gone astray, we still owe that nature that God gave man that we see in the Adam, the type man person we call Adam, we owe him for the life of industry. Now, if you can accept this, his generation, the life, the role of Adam, from dust to industry, and there's no accident that Scripture says he made the first man from dust. And man has now become associated with and given credit for great industry on this earth. Periods brought industry in, and civilizations fell down. They were destroyed. They lost. They deteriorated. Some of them just deteriorated humanly, morally. So like we are deteriorating right now in our public life. They deteriorated, and the whole society fell down and lost interest in creativity and production, et cetera, and industry. And they lost. And the excavators, they dig in the earth, and they find signs, oh, these people once existed. And they had great buildings, and they had streets, and they had homes. They find that buried under the earth. This is mentioned in the Quran too, that some the earth covered, and you can't find a trace of them anymore. This is in the Scripture. Anyway, we owe that disposition in human spirit, mind, body. We owe that disposition that was in Adam. To be curious. He just wanted to know that. That's how the God, that's how the devil, the Satan got into him. Because he was just so curious. He wanted to know things. So through that hunger, the Satan seduced him and got his attention and got him off path, got him off the moral path that God put him on. All right? Now, if we are to come back to that moral life that God intended for us from the very beginning when he made the first man, we are to come back into that life upon the help that we get from our physical life that God gave us. Nothing spooky about it. The physical life that God gave us, this body, this flesh and blood body, it is obedient to the laws of nature that serve its excellence. When you're hungry, your body lets you know you're hungry. The body wants you to stay there. When you're about to put something in your mouth that will make you sick, the body warns you, makes you remember. Memory comes from the body. Memory comes from your flesh body. It's in your flesh body. You forget something, it ain't going nowhere. It's in your flesh body. So your flesh body will let the memory come, bring that thing, let that thing come back to your mind to warn you that, no, you don't want to put that in your mouth. You don't want to eat that. That'll hurt you. If you're about to commit a big crime that's going to mess up your life forever, you feel fear. They call it mortal fear. That warning is coming again from your flesh body. That warning is from your flesh body. Okay, so don't underestimate the role of your flesh, the role of your flesh body in determining what you do and how far you will go with your life. Don't underestimate the role. Muhammad the Prophet had so much respect for the flesh body that he never stood for big shots or anything like that. He wanted to discourage that kind of behavior in society. So he wouldn't stand for big shots. Big shot come in, he wouldn't get up out of his feet and stand for the big shot. We do it, you know, out of respect, whatever. We're innocent. Most of the time we do that. Sometimes it's not innocent. We're looking for a favor from the big shot, you know. So anyway, he didn't do that. So I guess this is the first time his followers, his disciples, or his followers, have seen him witness a procession, a funeral procession, a burial procession. They were coming with a dead body. They were carrying it on their shoulders, taking it to a place where they were going to enter it into the ground, bury it. And when it got near Muhammad the Prophet, peace be on him, he stood up and waited until the body, they had passed with the body. Then he sat back down. And his companions, they said, "Why do you stand for a dead body?" He said, "It did nothing but obey its master." What was he saying? Well, we started with in the beginning of the talk on original sin. He was saying that the body was not guilty of any sin. Only the person that was in that body was guilty of any wrong. If that person did wrong, it was not the body's fault. It was that person's fault. So he stood recognizing the great works of God, the creation of a human form in flesh that obeys God to the very end. And we, as his master, God put us inside that flesh to be his master, is to serve us. So if we are really bent on, or really strongly decided upon doing a wrong, the body will warn us if it's a real danger to us. The body will warn us. Sometimes it warns us so with such force that you will actually sweat or you'll start trembling. The body will make you tremble before that thing that you're getting ready to do. It tries to warn you, but the more you do it, the less patience the body has with you. You keep on doing it. I used to say this when I was a young man preaching on 335 Greenwood, also on Stony Island, on 70, first or 72nd Stony Island. I used to say this, that the body, it comes to you when you're about to do something real terrible, and it speaks real loud. I exaggerated, you know, I demonstrated like, I said, "Don't do that." And you do it again. Next day, you do it again. The body says, "Don't do it." The next day, you do it again. The body says, "Don't do that." The next day, you do it again. The body says, "Don't do that." The fifth day, you don't hear it. Fifth day, you can't hear it at all. So you're on your own, doing your own thing. Ain't nothing to tell you to stop or come back. Moral life is depending on our flesh. So the society can convert our minds to sin and wrong. Even our great leaders that we respect, they can guide us wrongly. But the nature to obey the right thing never leaves the flesh. Never leaves the flesh. And anytime your spirit changes and you don't like what you see, and you decide that you're going to question these bad things, that you don't want this kind of life that's imposed upon you by the majority of the people of the public, of the society. Soon as you have the tainted interest in rebelling against the wrongdoers or against their ways, the body starts feeding your mind. Help. Body starts feeding your mind. Help. It brings your mind pain that will support your way of thinking and helps your thinking until you become strong enough to articulate, to speak intelligently to your society and call your society back wrong.
All right, we shall pause now for some public service announcements. Praise be to Allah, we are sharing an address entitled, Khalifa, the Role of Moral Life. I'm going to share with you some important public service announcements, and if you have any statements that you would like to make, I ask that you press one on your dial, on your phone, and I will unmute your mic, inshallah. Praise be to Allah. Okay, let me key this up. It's not coming. Okay, I'll share with you another public service announcement as I get to the one that I truly intend to share with you.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad bringing you good news. Study Al-Islam Life Topic Series 2020 is back. How many times have you wondered, when reading the Quran, what were the challenges and circumstances that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was facing when Allah sent the angel Gabriel with inspired revelation? Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time every Sunday to learn from our scholarly speakers. If you were unable to connect because your carrier charged the fee, you may now listen online at am360.org. For a complete schedule of our speakers, email studyalislam@gmail.com or pick up the Muslim Journal. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you. This is Dr. Constance Shabazz for American Muslim 360, announcing a new program from our parent corporation, CWSC, called Eyes on Our Communities. While all are being challenged by the current public health environment and policy of spatial distancing to prevent the spread of COVID-19, some older Americans are being urged to stay at home, who could unfortunately wind up being out of sight, out of mind. Social isolation itself can be a threat. So CWSC is asking believers nationwide via its National Volunteer Human Resource Network to be an extra set of eyes now for our seniors to help ensure they're okay. If you're a senior or a disabled person and need assistance, please call 910-317-0297, and one of our volunteers will be assigned to call you and help connect you with government agencies, nonprofits, civic or faith-based, and other institutions addressing elderly and disabled needs. We don't want a single person to fall through the cracks. So please call 910-317-0297. Help is just a phone call away. The public service announcement from the CWSC and AM360.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preeta Hadi, director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al Islam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM360 Islamic radio station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
And we are back. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. This is the broadcast of the evolution of revolutionary thought and creative purpose. I am your host, Kareem Hamid, along with you this morning as we have entered into another study session of the addresses and lectures of Imam Wadiquddin Muhammad Rahim al-Alehi. You know, as we all know, Allah bade the angels to bow down to the man that Allah was creating. And the angels had a problem with that. Now, this is only rhetoric. This is, you know, there's more to say on that. There's more to say on that. But Allah says to the angels, when I have breathed into him some of my spirit, then you bow down. Now that is very key, that the angels, they would bow down after Allah had breathed into the man some of his spirit. It says, and then he became a living soul. I want to share with you the tafsir of our beloved Imam Wadiquddin Muhammad concerning the role of angels and their connection with man, with human beings, with human beings. I want to share with you some of the Imam's thinking on how angels serve man. And I'm sharing with you from the from volume one of the Ramadan sessions of Imam Wadiquddin Muhammad Rahim al-Alehi. I believe it was held in Little Rock, Arkansas. And here's the Imam commentary on angels. They serve man. And I'm sharing with you from out of volume one of the Ramadan sessions of Imam Wadiquddin Muhammad Rahim al-Alehi. And it reads, they, the angels, serve God. That's their role. The role of the angels is just to serve God. So whatever they do for man, they do it not in the interest of man. They do it in the interest of serving God. There must be something in their nature that must make them respect the divinity, right, or any presence or evidence that something of the divine has come into this man. Now, he's inspired by the divine, by God. So God says, when I have breathed into him of my ruh, then submit to him And we know that Ruh is translated as will or my spirit. But Iblis, that wasn't enough to convince him. He said, I don't think that's possible. His attitude in the face of God was, I don't think that's possible. Just give me a little chance. I'm going to make you have second thoughts. I've got a plan for him. He's no match for me. It says, they submitted. Ile Iblis, except Iblis. So what this tells us is Allah wants both the jinn and angels to serve his purpose for man. Not that he's submitting to man, to God, but submit to this Khalifa. It didn't say, we know it's Adam. We know any authority that God establishes is the Khalifa, but it doesn't say Adam. It says Khalifa. So it's not so much the entity, but the rule I'm supposed to submit to. And not just the angels, but the jinn to serve God's purpose for man and must offer service. And the creature that refuses to do that, knowingly did that, became the enemy of mankind, Iblis, the Satan. Praise be to Allah. So the point being made here is that the angels were created to obey Almighty God's will, to obey the spirit of Almighty God. When Allah breathed into the man some of his spirit, the spirit that dwells in man is what the angels submit to, not necessarily just the man himself, but the angel follows the nature that Almighty God constructed in him. In the angel, in his purpose to serve God's will. Praise be to Allah. So after Allah breathed into the man some of his spirit, the angels reacted to the nature that Allah had placed within them, and they submitted to that spirit that Allah had breathed into the man. Praise be to Allah. So that is how the angels serve us. They serve us indirectly through serving the spirit and the will of Almighty God that dwells within every human being. Praise be to Allah. Okay, we return back to the lecture. And if any of you have any statements or questions or something that you would like to share, I ask that you press 1 on your phone. I will unmute your mic. Praise be to Allah. So the angels are obeying the will of Almighty God, and they are responding to the ruh, the spirit that Allah had breathed into the human being. Praise be to Allah. Okay, we return back to the lecture. Khalifa, the role of moral life.
All inspired person of Dr. King or something. So this is the way it happened. So this story of God making a Khalifa is to tell us, don't worry about losing moral life to the extent that you want to kill yourself or want to check out this world or get off. As that guy said in that movie, let me off. I can't take it anymore. I want to get off. I can't take it anymore. No, you never have to come to that desperate position where you're ready to kill yourself or you've just given up now. Some of us kill ourselves by falling into the slump, into the filth that we were rejecting. So you can't fight it, join it. You can't beat it, join it. So we don't always kill ourselves physically, but we kill ourselves by giving ourselves to moral corruption or good and bad things of the world or of the society. That's killing yourself too. Now, at this point, I'd like to say to you that since we're talking about life and death, people dying or being killed, in scripture, don't think of physical flesh. That the person was killed physically. Not all the time. In fact, that's not the big subject. of life and death in Scripture. The big subject of life and death in Scripture is the life and death in moral life. Moral life, moral death. And for the Christian audience, the Bible says sin is death. Sin is death. And I guess that's why the Bible said that Adam, he accepted the suggestion of the Satan, but it never says that he died instantly. Did no, because the devil will give you the idea that he died as a mortal. He continued to live as a mortal, as flesh. He continued to live. But yet, he died. The moment he accepted Satan's suggestion, he died in his moral life. Moral life died. The moral life died. And that's the word death. That's the death that God wants to be watchful of and keep away from and never more die mortal. So I'm about to say that Christ Jesus says, no, he didn't die on the cross. They didn't need to crucify him in order to kill him. But it appears like that to them. To those who were reading, or those who were looking at his life, it appeared like that to them. But instead of him being killed or crucified, he was lifted up to God. His moral life had never been false. He was still perfect and excellent in his moral life, and God lifted him up to heaven to himself. This is his gospel, this is the teaching of his gospel, and so on. Now, so if holding on to your moral life will save your life after the mortal flesh is gone, and will merit you being brought up to heaven, to God, then it is not only Jesus Christ that receives that, but any man or woman or child that holds on to their moral life and don't let it die, don't give it up. When the physical body is gone, God will lift them up to him and get it. This is what we have to believe, because it's in our book, in our holy book. And it's in the Bible in different words in a different way. So have faith. Never give up. Don't fear. Have faith and never give up. Doesn't mean that we're not going to be afraid. When we say don't fear, we mean don't let fear or being afraid dictate how you're going to think and live. But remember God when you fear. And God will strengthen you in your faith. And your fear will be light. Not heavy and temporary. It'll go away. God says, for those who keep the faith, there is no fear for them, nor shall they grieve. Fear won't take them down, and worry or weep will not take them down. Because the moment they remember their Lord, their burden will become light.
See, I want to pause right here. Inshallah, to lend some commentary to what the Imam was just sharing with us. It is stated that that those that have faith and believe in Almighty God, they shall not worry, nor shall they grieve, nor shall they grieve. We have to understand that the Allah says that He will perfect his light. Allah says he will perfect his light. And we know the light is the revelation from all of the revealed books culminating in the Quran, which is a correction, a criterion for right and wrong of the past scriptures. So sometimes we put pressure on each other because things are not happening according to our clock, according to our time. Sometimes we take that burden on ourselves which is not our responsibility. Allah says he will perfect his life. Allah says he will make Al-Islam the most prominent religion on the earth. Not Kareem Hamid, not Sister Aliyah, not no one of us, no human being has the power to do that. It is Almighty God that says that he will make Al-Islam the when I say a dominant, I don't mean ruling over people. In place of priority, Al-Islam will be the most favored way of life on the earth. Allah says he will do that. So let us have patience with each other, and let us not try to play God. Allah takes that responsibility upon himself. So think that is very valuable to us so that we do not worry, nor should we grieve. Allah is not a liar. When Allah, surely Almighty God, speaks the truth, it is Allah that will make Al-Islam the priority of the number one priority of the way of life on the earth. Praise be to Almighty God. That is not our responsibility. We are to only do as Allah has advised our Prophet Muhammad. We pray the prayers and the peace be upon him. Make the message reach them clearly. Just make the message reach them. Don't follow up behind them. Just make them, just deliver the message clearly, plain and clear, and move on. Praise be to Allah. So I hope that these are comforting words to us so that we step back, take a breath, and continue in the work that we are all doing. But the result of that is purely up to Almighty God. It is Allah who will call when this is over, not us. So Allah takes the responsibility upon himself to perfect his life, that is Almighty God. So we shouldn't worry and grieve and get all panicked and all upset and lose patience with one another, trying to act in the role that Almighty God has designated for himself. Allah says he will perfect his life. And Allah says Al-Islam will be the number one priority way of life on the earth. Not on our time, on Almighty God Allah's time. We just support the will of Almighty God Allah and make sure that we are operating within the will of Almighty God Allah. Let us not worry nor grieve. Okay, we return back to the lecture, and it is entitled Khalifa, the Role of Moral Life. If any of you have anything that you would like to share, we ask that you press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic. We return back to the address now.
Well, we come now to Jesus Christ as the second Adam. He was perfect and excellent in his moral body, in his moral life. Perfect and excellent in his moral life. And God rewarded him for that, for having that excellence. God knows good, clean, holy substances in a rotten container. So the moral life of Jesus Christ was kept intact, as the scripture says, without spot or blemish. A lamb without spot or blemish. Lamb means peaceful, loving person. Not a vicious person, not a person moved by anger, but a person peaceful like a lamb. Yes. So God rewarded him with guidance. God taught him. He educated Jesus Christ from a child. And our Holy Ghost said that he spoke while he was yet in the cradle. We speak of the cradle of civilization, don't we? So cradle also means beginning. But it doesn't mean he was in some little thing remade or his parents made, a little box or something they made, with baby diapers on, crying and wetting on himself. No, he was in the cradle of his human development. That was the cradle. He was in the first stage of his human development, in the cradle of his human development. And even in that first stage, on that first level, where he could not rationally pick out things and debate things, he was not able to do that yet. He had not been educated to that extent. But he felt with his heart and his soul, he felt what was right and what was wrong. And he spoke as a baby in the cradle. And he was faith. God does not like that. God would rather have us go this way. So he was a leader even in the cradle. He spoke. He was a leader even in the cradle. The first level in the flesh connects us with the material world and our own material life. It drives us to want to take care of our hunger for food, water, for a beautiful place, a surrounding to live in, to have our wives taken care of, so they don't worry about how the baby's going to eat. That's the first level. And eventually, doing that, the man produces so much that he got more than enough for his family. And he joins hands with another man and another man and another man, and pretty soon, they build a city in time. They build a city. And they have industry. All of that came from Adam in his blood nature, in the nature of his mortal life. All of that came from him. But they were not able to get true sciences. They were able to have science because by experiment, watching what God did, one story is like this, a man observed lightning striking a forest. And setting the forest on fire. When the fire subsided, there was no more fire and all that going out, the same people went back into where the woods were. Now they're gone, they burned out. And they discovered metal, the wood that fire so hot, it melted metal. It melted minerals, pardon me, and other things, and formed like a metal. Formed like a power for U.S. Steel, Bentley & Steel, U.S. Steel. I worked for those refineries as a welder. And first they had me pulling molds. That was as a welder. That was a hot job, I said. So, and I know something about steel industry, or steel making. I know something about that. And I'm sure that the coke and other things that you put together to make iron or steel, perhaps all of that was in the fire, in some form. And the fire came, melted, it came back, they found metal. Man, this is the story of how man discovered how to make metal tubes. And especially when the first thing he learned was the best. That's man, all right. Yes. And also cooking food. They came in there and found animals that had been killed by the fire, burned by the fire, but all the men's flesh wasn't destroyed. They smelled it, it smelled good. They took it, it tasted good. And they say that's how man started cooking his food, cooking his meat. So all that was given to Adam. But the tech science we have now, you have to have an orientation in your mind that says, I'm going to work on this, but I'm not going to let my faith influence what I'm working on. I'm going to study how these things act and behave as I put them under certain experiments. And I'm going to let these things teach me they are and how they can be changed by fire, or by acid, or by whatever the test is, you know, or by bacteria, whatever the test is. And he listens and wants the experiment. He doesn't let his own interest or his own feelings even his fears or whatever come into the work. Keep himself out of the work. Now, that could not be given to man without God revealing to man. Through these exact sciences, we are wrong when we give the world credit for these exact sciences. The world could not have got these exact sciences unless God communicated to man the power and utility that he put in his creation for human use. Is there any truth in history for that? Yes. There were religious leaders before Islam. And most of the great scientific works and experiments were done by religious people, Christians. Christians. But something happened, and they lost it. They lost interest. When Muhammad the Prophet was born, intellectual interest almost had died in the whole world, known world. Scientific exploration, studies, etc., lost from the world. What's going on anyway? Allah revealed to Muhammad the Prophet the first five lines of Revelation, the first five lines of what he said to Muhammad is addressing the intelligence of the brain of the human being. In its position to want to know and understand things. And God says to him, the first words he said to Muhammad, he said, read. In the name of your Lord who created. So God is saying to man, Muhammad, to read. And Muhammad didn't know what to read. I'm not a reader. I don't read scripture. I'm not a man of scripture. He was not. He didn't even belong to a religious order. Anybody of people that had scripture. Although scripture was available in the land of the Arabs, but it was very rare, hard to find a person who had a Bible or had even some knowledge of scripture that God had revealed. But Muhammad didn't know of religion as such. So he was frightened by this new experience he was having. He didn't like it. Like Abraham, when he had a vision to sacrifice his son, he was frightened by that. He felt that God wanted him to do it too. He felt that he had to do it because God was inspiring him or guiding him to do it. But he was fearful, very fearful and afraid. So Muhammad, when God spoke to him, saying, read, I guess Muhammad said, I'm not interested in this religious stuff. I'm a businessman. I'm a practical man. I'm not spiritual. I ain't interested in that. You know, God, do I really have to get into this? And he started feeling chilled. He was all shook up. Well, I didn't want to tell you that story. But it's there. We'll tell it some more. We'll finish it some other time. Let's get back to the point. Science, true scientists, could not have been discovered, not even the interest to go at it, if it wasn't for God. God says in the Quran, and there are worlds that God made that you see, and worlds that you see not. So the Quran even said that there were invisible worlds. At the time, man didn't know that there was an invisible world of bacteria. Hadn't been discovered yet. Microbes and that hadn't been discovered. But later man finds a whole nother world of living things. Microscopic life or organism. It was not discovered before the Quran. Check your history, check your records. Okay? So when this came to Muhammad about creation, that read in the name of the Lord who created, that being made things. all things, you included. And don't forget how I started this. I said the Indians, the native Indians, believe that everything made has a message for man and his destiny. Okay? All right, don't forget that. Put it all together. Don't lose. Well, I get you out. Don't let it slip out of faith. Keep it all together. Okay. Thank God. All right. Now, also in the Quran, God says, everything that you see embodies knowledge. Everything seen or known embodies a knowledge, a science. The alien, you have any knowledge of what is alien? You say science. Right now, it might be an Arabic speaking, especially a native born Arabic speaking person in the audience. Sometimes they are when I speak. Is there any native born Arabic speaking person? Arabic is your language, you're born with. That, so I can see you if you're here. But there's none here today. Too bad, fella, you missed a lot. It's ilmah. Science. Ilmah. Science. So everything embodies a science. Higher knowledge. In the time of Muhammad the Prophet, we didn't have all these sciences of the human life. But now you got sciences of the blood, science of the blood, science of the skin, and even different parts of the skin, science of the hair, science of everything, science of the eye, the different parts of the human eye. Science of everything. We have it now. But it was said long before it was ever known by man. Said in the Quran, I'm still there. 1400 and some years old. Where God said, Rashi, I put the shade in. Amen. You can find it just like that in the Quran. That he has and the eye.
Okay, I'm transitioning to part two of this lecture. Let me see. Praise be to Allah. The title of this lecture is Khalifa, the Role of Moral Life. I begin part two of this address, inshallah.
Everything will be extended and expanded and to embody.
Yes, there. Praise be to Allah.
Science.
Let me stop right here and see if anyone has any commentary that they would like to share based upon what has been shared this morning in this study session. The imam is sharing with us the advent of science that Allah says that everything that he has created has a science connected to it, a knowledge base connected to it. And all knowledge, there is a higher knowledge over all knowledge, that whatever you may have learned, praise be to Allah, there is a higher reading, there is a higher knowledge connected to whatever level of that your knowledge is at. And Imam Muhammad has shared with us that Almighty God is over it all. Almighty God is over all knowledge. Praise be to Allah. We are faced with somewhat of a circumstance in this current life that we are in. There is a thought or a propensity to reject religious life, to reject religious life. Okay, I see someone has pressed one on the phone. Let me be true to my word and open up the line. Erico 248-763, assalamu alaikum.
Islam. Islam, and I'm going to say, like you said, he said, read, ikra, read the written word, the spoken word, and signs and symbols are for the conscious mind. Okay, masons and shriners been running things for how long? Let's talk about the old rugged, old spirituals. The one about that old rugged cross on a hill far away to the old rugged cross, the image of suffering and shame. But I love that old cross because it was stained by the blood. Blah, blah, blah. Now they got a face on the they put a body on the cross. Okay. It's signs and symbols are for the conscious mind. Don't get crossed out. Read, and in time, understanding will come.
It's okay. Yes, sir. And who am I? Out of Detroit, Michigan.
this is the Lukma. I'm the son of Mel. High Ramza Gay. I was born in the D, but I didn't make cards. I made license plates for the state of Missouri, the Show Me State, signs and symbols that are, and cardinals that elect the Pope down in Missouri. I don't know. Just read and understanding will come in time.
Yeah, sir. Yeah. Thank you, Lukman. You are so correct.
I like to say, you know, Muhammad Ali, the greatest, when he said, those three guys you love the most, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and crosses in the cemetery than it is in the church. Don't get crossed out.
Okay, look, man, thank you, my brother.
That we can be blessed with understanding. Time bring that about.
Okay. Thank you for sharing.
And know that heaven on earth is at the feet of the mama. You're trying to die and go to heaven. I remember when I moved to St. Louis, they used to have missionaries come on the project. Had us singing a little song talking about our heart was black with sin until the Savior came in and washed me white. Knowing I'm going to heaven and going to be walking streets of gold, and some of us going to have wings and be able to fly. Just like that worm, we're going to call it a caterpillar. Go in this cocoon and come out with wings flying. Not to worry, the best we can, but there's a master plan. Do what mama said, do it. Lie. Pick your people and don't let people pick you. And reason, be responsible. Say, I am.
Thank you, Luke Mine. I must move on.
You know I started rambling. Islam. You know I started rambling.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Praise
be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Yes, we are grateful for Lukman. Every time Lukman comes on America Muslim 360, his first advice to all of us is ikra, to read. He's right in line with the presentation this morning, especially by way of science. You know, we have a dilemma. There are too many people are rejecting organized religion. They call it spiritual. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. And with the advances that we see with technology, with science and technology, able to hold a computer that at one time filled the volume of a large room with information, a huge machine called a computer. Now, the average person walks around with that computer. They can hold it in their hand. They can carry it in their purse or pocket. They can reach places around the world that we may never physically lay our eyes on. With one swipe of a finger, you can get information. You can visit areas that that are halfway around the world. They have come up with another science called artificial intelligence, robots that can imitate, and I use that purely, that can imitate thought. And when the average person sees these things and they derive benefit from them, then they make a judgment. Am I benefiting more from science or from religion? And they make an educated, I use that word loosely, an educated summation. I am benefiting more from science, from computers, my cell phone, my tablet, the CT scan, the MRI, than I am gaining from religion. That is because there is a disconnect between the Creator, the source of all knowledge, the source of all science. There is a disconnect. It is not being stated that all of these things are gifts from Almighty God, that these things were already created, were already in the realm of creation. Man did not create anything. Man's curiosity, praise be to, I wrote something down here. Where is it at? About curiosity. Yes. Is God that gave man an inquiring mind. Man did not produce that inquiring mind himself. It is Almighty God that gave the human being a questioning mind, an inquiring mind, which leads man to investigation, to lead man into I want to know. I want to know. So even a mind that is led to these wonderful gifts that we're now experiencing, God is the nucleus of that. Never could no man create what Allah has already created. And because God gave the human being an inquiring mind, a curiosity, Almighty God leads man to these wonderful gifts that we are experiencing now. And the praise does not go to man. The praise goes to the ultimate source, Almighty God Allah. Praise be to Allah. I stop now for a public service announcement. And I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad bringing you good news. Study Al-Islam Life Topic Series 2020 is back. How many times have you wondered when reading the Quran, what were the challenges and circumstances that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was facing when Allah sent the angel Gabriel with inspired revelation? Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time every Sunday to learn from our scholarly speakers. If you were unable to connect because your carrier charged the fee, you may now listen online at am360.org.
For a complete schedule of our speakers, email studyourislam@gmail.com or pick up the Muslim Journal. Thank you.
So I was telling my brothers if they ever had daughters to do certain things with their daughters, that way to just have little daddy-daughter dates and things and take them on little, have little journeys and take them out to eat and treat them like a young lady and open their, even if they're little, I don't care if they're from 3 to 13, treat them like a woman, open their door for them and hold the door and everything. So that way they will be used to it, because I said one day when they get older, they will look for a husband, and they will be so used to how their dad treated them and how their dad talked to them and told them how they were supposed to be treated, so they won't expect or they won't look for anything less. They will remember, okay, when I get older, and if I will know how my dad treated me, and I will know not to get with anything less, as in if a boy doesn't respect you all the way. You will know what respect feels like because your dad was the first person to show you how a young lady should be treated.
And we are back. Praise be to Almighty God. You're listening to America Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, an intelligentsia component of the community-wide Shura Conference. And we are grateful to those of you that connect with us online at am360.org, or perhaps you connect with us at this number, 701-719-4197. You can receive quality programming 24 hours daily. And we invite you to join us live in the studio by dialing 515-605-9891. Once again, 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. That is the alternate number. It is 425-292-4253. You can also email us at info@cwsc.us, or perhaps tweet us at uppercase CWS, lowercase HURAA. Tweet us at CWSURA. And we invite you to visit the website of our parent company, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, Inc., Incorporated, at cwsc.us. And we always invite you, if you would, to leave a listener comment with us, pro or con. Leave a listener comment with us at 910-317-0297. Your voice is protected and your intellect is respected. Together we can remake the world. Praise be to Almighty God. Return back to a part two of this lecture, Khalifa, the role of moral life.
Muhammad the Prophet even associated his dream with violence. He had a dream. He told the people his dream. He said, I had a dream. And in this dream, milk was oozing out of bones. Bones. And he said, then what is the meaning of that dream? He said, science. And he said, science. Now, in our time, we know that calcium is needed if you're going to have bones. And calcium is also in the milk. And you have to drink milk and get your calcium in order to develop your bones and develop your human body in a good way. So we know that now. But Muhammad had it in a vision of dreams over 1400 years ago. About 1400 years ago. I'm making progress. Don't think so. I won't be here as long as you think. I'll be gone. You shall walk out of it. Now, so I'm saying my position to you is, and I'm not trying to impose anything on anybody. God knows that if you really want, you really want to get rid of me, just let me know you're not interested. I'm gone. I don't want to give you anything you don't want. But God knows that's the way I am. Present the doorway to the silences. The doorway into the silences. And the doorway into the structuring of an industrious, productive, moral, ethical world. Jesus Christ represents all that it is. Now, this might surprise you. Don't think that that science was known by the ancient people long time ago. Long before Muhammad the prophet. Long before Jesus Christ. Long before Moses. The ancient people of the world, and I don't think it was just Egypt, but Egypt, as we know, they had great science. Before the world that we have been discussing had these sciences, the Egyptians, the ancient Egyptians had these great sciences. And don't let Pharaoh, the bad Pharaoh, cause you to think that all those bad people had all that. They were not all bad. The Pharaoh was just one of the leaders. The Pharaoh that persecuted the Hebrews was just one of the leaders. Perhaps there was another bad one, but in my study of the Pharaoh, the dynasty of the Pharaoh, Egyptian dynasty, they had very excellent people. They had long periods of peace and social excellence. So God bless us today. And Papa tells us that it's true. God tells us that it's true. And don't make you first and only. Oh, their nation is long gone. That he blessed. If they had works even greater than yours, some of them. This is told to us in Scripture by God. Okay, so I'm telling you that Jesus Christ does not represent only one that comes to tell the world, stop doing wrong, stop mistreating the weak people, stop loving each other, stop helping the little guy, come to the rescue of the weak and the suffering people. That's not the only Jesus. In fact, that Jesus is not a big deal. We have those people all the time in society, women and men, that love to do good. And if they see wrong, they're going to tell you, no, don't do that. Don't be like that. Help that person. Don't treat him like that. And then stop what they're doing. They come from what they're doing. Maybe they're going to an important meeting or something. They will actually stop just like the Good Samaritan. In fact, that to be more in, to support what I'm saying than anything I can say to you. The Good Samaritan. Jesus pointed to a man that was already doing what they should do. He said the rabbis, meaning the religious leaders, and all have walked down that same road. And there was a man stumbling, lying in the road, suffering. And they just walked around and say, some walked on the other side of the street, other side of the road, so he wouldn't be bothered. They wouldn't have that conscience bothered about him. And some, they didn't have a conscience at all. They would walk up, stay on the same side of the road and walk right by him, do nothing for him, he's suffering in the road. And Jesus Christ said, along came the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan said, had compassion on him. Samaritan is from Sumer, the place called Sumer. Sumer. So his name, he was named after a city like an area. He was named after that. He was called Samaritan. Like he was dating. Along came to Chicago. That's how Jesus Christ was speaking. Along came to Chicago. So he said, along came Samaritan. That means people, person that came from another town. Along came the Good Samaritan. He saw him and had compassion on him. And he took him and gave him his help. And he had to keep going, because he had a destiny. He had a job, too. He had to keep going. So he went and found somebody and asked them, charged them, and he went to, like, a rescue place. And he went there, and he said, take care of this man. And when I return, I will pay you. So he said, he was waiting. being Lord over all the people. He was deceived by his daughter. His daughter deceived him and caused his death. And his son, who was a bad son, got possession of his body, the dead body. And he took the dead body and dismembered it in many pieces. And he put it, hid it on the trees and in different places. He scattered it all over the known world and hid portions of his body everywhere. Now, to make this interpretation very short for you, God is one. His creation is one. Everything, as the science and the scientists tell us, everything is related. And everything comes under one law, though for each thing is a separate law. Sometimes many laws for us. But there's the one law over all things, universal law. The universal law affects everything that's in it. So all things are tied together by the rule of law that God made for those things when he created them, for that nature, in them, in that nature, to do that. So the world won't take us back to the wholeness of truth. They won't take us back to the wholeness of education, to the wholeness of knowledge. They give us the education of government, of civic education, of city, the education of government. They give us the education of culture. They give us the education of medicine. They give us all these different branches of education, thousands of different fields of branches of areas of knowledge. And they give them to us, and they invite you to come and study them as though your area is not connected to other areas. They make little effort to tell you that they all are connected. They will make no plain effort to tell the student that, look, this is but a piece of the whole knowledge that exists in the total works of God. And this is just a little piece of it. We're just studying a little piece of it now. But all of it, you have to understand, exists in everything that you see in the skies and the earth and yourself and everywhere. The wholeness of matter, the wholeness of truth, the wholeness of science. They don't think they have to do that. Because if they did that, it would expand your mind. That expands your mind, and that makes you less selfish. That makes you less arrogant. When you achieve your degree in this little place here, you understood that you achieved a degree in a little speck. That there was a little speck of the world that you got your PhD in. Like one piece of one grain of dust. Huh? You will understand that. They don't want humble people. They were proud people. Who am I talking about? The leaders that have strayed away from the form, moral form of life that Allah created all of us. Come to the third stage now, third level. Muhammad the Prophet, he said, there come a time when his followers will see, not only his followers, the world, Christians too, will see Christ Jesus and Muhammad together. That means not in opposition to one another, not fighting each other, not threatening each other, as Christians in the history of Islam and Christianity. Some of them, rulers, believed that Islam was a threat to Christianity, and they went out to destroy all the power and strength of Muslims, wherever they found them existing in a built-up way, in a built-up way, an established way. They wanted to break their power, bring them up, put them down so they would be helpless on the Christian power. That went along for centuries. And then the Muslim rulers, some of them too, they left, they strayed, and they didn't care. They were just like the rabbis and others that walked by the man that helped us in the room and just left him there, did nothing for him. They lost their moral responsibility or their mission, moral mission in the world. They lost it. And for centuries in that society, nothing but neglect. Neglect of human life. Neglect of the calling that God wants us to respond to. Neglect. Total neglect of it. So they all did that, okay? Now here comes Muhammad, the prophet, and he represents the third. Adam, one. Step one. Christ Jesus, step two. Where are we going? With this step one, step two. We're going to the ideal society that God wants on this planet Earth. We're going to the destiny for human life in its most excellent picture. Destiny for human life in its most excellent picture. That's where we're going. Your nature, if you're a conscious human being, responding to the best motivations or the best sensitivities in your life, you want nothing short of that.
Right.
You accept that you can't get what's not reachable for you. You accept that. But you hope that somebody in the world will continue and make this world better and better until it gets to be that beautiful world that you picture in your heart and mind, on your soul. Sometimes you need to see it with your eyes, but it touches you. You feel it in your soul. And no, it's not right yet. You won't do better than this. It has to be better than this. So that's the destiny. Muhammad, the prophet, comes behind Jesus Christ, after Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a spirit. Jesus Christ was motivated spiritually to do the wonderful things that he did. And God took him spiritually into the paradise and showed him the perfect world that he wants us to have for human beings. God did that for him. God did it also for Muhammad. Muhammad too. Motivated spirit. The third dimension moving in the first level step. Jesus Christ. Same third dimension moving by me and Adam. Probably, and he lost it. Same third dimension moving in Jesus Christ. And he kept it. He died with his moral life intact. Whenever he died. We don't even have a record of when he died. But whenever he died with his moral life intact. Okay? Then here comes Muhammad the prophet. One, the third dimension, we're working in the mortal flesh. The second one, Jesus Christ, the third dimension, working in his conscience. Working in his conscience. They speak of Christ's conscience. Yeah, so this third dimension is working in his conscience. And he's moved he's responding to his excellent moral life. And he's not liking what he's seeing. He's not liking what's happening. So his spirit is a gift, the spirit of the world. And he works and he works and he talks to something coming after him. He say, I have to go away. I can't stay with you always. That's the Bible. I have to go away. But nevertheless, the Father will send you another comforter. Comforter! Comforter! Who is he talking to? The people who are not dead morally, who are bothered by a terrible world, and they can't be comfortable in that soul. And Jesus Christ tells them, I have to go. I know it's sad to say this, but if I don't go away, the comforter will not come to you. I have to go away. But if I go away, the Father will send you another comforter. That's what Jesus Christ says in the gospel. I told you in the beginning, I'm a student of the Bible. Ready to take a test from anybody, including the Pope of Rome. Or the president of the Baptist Convention. I'm ready to take a test from anybody. Okay.
Okay, we pause now to see, praise be to Allah.
I see error code 334419. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the study sessions of the addresses of Imam Washington Muhammad. If you would, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, alaikum assalam. Peace of God be upon you and the audience. Michael Hameen, Jacksonville, Florida. And I appreciate you giving us this offering. What I've heard lastly was that the focus that this is a progressive message and a progressive process. It repeats itself. And even though Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, has physically parted from the world, transitioned, as it said, his office remains, and those that are aware of that office and the obligation of that office on those who follow Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, then that process continues with the followers of Prophet Muhammad, who are actually students of him and the Word of God. And so by that process, it keeps repeating itself to help the common man and woman to engage that message and process to grow in excellence. And the obligation is on those that know to help this process and to use their awareness to help the everyday man and woman see and actively work within the process of excellence of the human being. And I'll stop there. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Michael. Praise be to Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum
okay, we have another call on the line. Error code 706627. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the evolution of revolutionary thought and creative purpose. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Wa alaikum assalam. Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, by the way, of Columbus, Georgia. Thank Allah for your service this morning. And just like the brother was saying, too, because we always have to remember that we're all saying the same thing. And we're trying to get back to the connection that Allah gave us in the Quran, in the life example of Prophet Muhammad, and our own creation. When we spend, like Prophet Ibrahim said, when we make our life and death all for Allah, and the closer we get to that understanding, we'll start spending our intelligence, our science, our math, our faith. We'll spend everything to get the creation back to the oneness that Allah has shown us that he wants us to do. That's our job right now. You know, and we have a challenge of something outside of the creation who thinks it's better than the creation is challenging us. Meaning, like I said before, our intelligence, our money, our emotions, our life and our death for establishing this model community exemplified in the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, then we'll start seeing everybody get free to do the same thing if they want to. So Imam is trying to get us to understand how important it is that we come to Shura, come to consensus about what we're going to do to get back to the tawheed of this whole reality that we're going through as a test. To please Allah and make everybody else look out for each other like it's supposed to, love for each other what they love for themselves. So it's going to take our money. It's going to take our education. It's going to take our time and our dedication to do this. And the longer we don't do that is the longer we're going to be out here lost in space, in the state of Austin. Just want to say that.
Thank you, Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for a timely reminder. Our life and our death is all for Allah. And that even includes our financial health, our money, our everything. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Muhammad. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Okay, we move forward with part two of this address, Khalifa, the moral life. Praise be to Allah. Right. Khalifa, the role of moral life, part two. Wait a minute, let me pause at this time for public service announcement. I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
And now, an important message from the conveners of Imams, associated with the community of Imam Warith Deen Muhammad.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, and I want to talk to you about something, that strikes at the very heart of our family and community life. It's something that can stay hidden in homes and in communities for years, regardless of faith or religion or socioeconomic status. I want to talk to you about domestic abuse, violence against women in general, as well as a broader underlying issue of respect for women that the Me Too movement addresses that helps us to see and understand an even deeper and systemic, long-standing disrespect of women at many levels of our society, from the stockroom to the boardroom. To see real change, though, is to help move these injustices out of the dark and into the light. For that, we're going to need you and me, or a We Too movement in which we say no more. You must also be willing to admit that the problem can exist even in your or my community. So talk to your imam and other accounts. Hold workshops in your community. Invite in experts to learn more and talk about it in individual conversations. We want respect for our mothers, wives, daughters, sisters, and the women in our society. And that means equal protection and equal respect for their intellect, their work, and their total person. So what are you willing to do? This has been a public service message from CWSC and EM360. Peace and blessings. As-salamu alaykum.
What is American Muslim 360, you ask? It's hard-hitting.
Do we have any peace? And our people have been tricked that if you've got money, which really is an artificial measure of wealth, wealth is more than just how much capital you have accumulated. Huh? We know that money is just a medium of exchange, man-made, and it can change, it has changed. Grown men, I don't carry cash. You're an idiot.
Informative.
Federal government now spends more than $500 billion a year, or roughly 14% of the federal budget, on doing business in the private sector with contractors. In addition, contract goals are established for women-owned businesses and small disadvantaged businesses, which is another name for minority or black-owned businesses.
Your health and well-being.
I want to talk about high blood pressure one more time today. Especially in our community, high blood pressure is so prevalent. It is a silent killer, and usually there are no symptoms at all. And if we don't really take care of ourselves, it's bound to get out from under us in an unexpected moment.
Al-Quran.
So in that regard, it's also said in Quran that it is the best of time to pray, and it is during this time in your reading of Quran that it will be a witness for you. So if you can imagine that if we are reading Quran during this time, that it will be a witness for us.
So to answer your question, American Muslim 360 is well-rounded. It's all about the people. And it's all about the deen. And that's why we are the number one Islamic blog talk radio station in all of America.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dafrisa Hadi, director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al Islam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic radio station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I wish you, you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
And we are back. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. We invite you to tune back into American Muslim 360 this evening, inshallah, at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Al Islam in Focus, hosted by our our beloved sister, Dipritha Hadi, an excellent broadcast. Praise be to Almighty God Allah for her and that broadcast. We return back to part two of the address concerning Khalifa, the role of moral life.
Yeah. Or anybody else?
Let me back it up some so we can stay and have a smooth flow and smooth transition. Okay. Here we go.
Moral, who are bothered by a terrible world and they can't be comfortable in their soul. And Jesus Christ tells them, I have to go. I know it's sad to tell you this, but if I don't walk away, the comforter will not come to you. I have to go away. If I go away, the Father will send you another comforter. That's what Jesus Christ says in the gospel. I told you in the beginning, I'm including the Bible. Ready to take a test from anybody, including the folk wrong. Or the president of the Baptist Convention. I'm ready to take a test from anybody. Okay. Yeah. Or anybody else? Yes. The Bible says if you got a light, don't hide it. Don't put it on the bushes. It's the right light. He told you want people to know it because he wants them to know that God has blessed you and them and they accept it with the light. So why hide it? You ain't proud. You're humble. But you're grateful. You want to acknowledge who gave you this. You want to share it with somebody else. Not keep it to yourself. That's a wicked person. Very small brain person. No heart at all. Yes. Okay. So, Muhammad the prophet comes. Now, he is the third step. But he has the same third dimension working in him. What is the third dimension? Spiritual. Spiritual dimension. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. One, two, three. Sprinkle water, one. Sprinkle water, two. Sprinkle water, three. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Mom, the prophet taught us that if you got three people, you got a congregation. The third one will be the leader. So you conduct your prayer. You can even have Jummah prayer on our most sacred day, Friday prayer, with just three people. Huh? And the third one stands in the front like a triangle. Two in the back. And the one in the acute angle. Acute angle. He's in the front and he's up in prayer. The two are following him. Huh? Yes! So that tells us by way of interpretation. That tells us that our leader is a spiritual leader. He's the leader that God has blessed with the Spirit to follow his will and his way. Yes. Praise be to Allah. So Muhammad now, he's that one. He's the spiritual leader, but he's also the third dimension, the third step. And the third step is the step into the community life that God wants, that God has guided Adam for, created Adam for, and guided him for that, and also produced Jesus Christ from himself, as a word of the Spirit from himself. That's what Islam says too. It's not just Christianity. That he's born not of a man, but God produced Jesus Christ as a word from himself and a spirit from himself. This is Islam, as well as Christianity. So here he produced Jesus Christ, and he just produced Jesus Christ for the same purpose, to bring us closer to that ideal society. Abraham, he showed it to Abraham. Abraham saw it by way of vision. And Abraham began to tell the people, this is the direction we should take. He was the second father after Adam. And then these other prophets come, Moses, selected Joshua to take him into the promised land. And the picture that it gives us is actually a physical land with people living in that land and having their faith in there. And we think it's physical. No. God never authorized anybody to go and take somebody else's land. Take that town for your purpose. No. No. I hope you know Thursday how far reaching my statement is. God never authorized any people to go and take somebody else's land for your purpose. No. This is a spiritual kingdom. The promised land is not a physical place, it's a spiritual kingdom. It's a condition that you want to bring about in people. It can be overseas, it can be here in America, it can be all over the planet. That's because God wants all over the planet. Wants it everywhere, you know? So it's not a particular faith. They came here talking about this is a new destiny. The promised land. Just to justify putting the Native Indians on reservation. To locking up their life. Yes, just to justify it. To make it easier on us to bear it. They said this is a promised land. Not that I'm totally against a more prepared people conquering a people that's less prepared to make the life that you want. But they should try to bring those people into their lives. They didn't come in here and say, we have this knowledge and we have this science and we have new weapons. Can we introduce these things to you and can we share this big bad for us? We have knowledge of how to cultivate your wilderness and do this. Did they make any attempt to win those people as citizens in support of this new vision? Citizens and supporters of a new vision? No, they didn't say we have a new vision. We would like to introduce it to you. Would you welcome this year, if you would, with this part of the world to become a pretty healthy area? No, they didn't do that. They treated them as savages that were to be moved out of their land, moved out of the way of the new builders, and even locked up on reservation or whatever. So they did it wrong. And believe me, most white people in high places and also down on the low level with the poorest above, all of them are touched by that, and they don't like what happened to the Native Indians. American people don't like that. I only take a few bad people to impose something on all the good people. They're just a few in this strong position. They're imposing upon the good people. And they give that justification for it. They occupy your mind with their story and their life. And you forget about what happens to the American Indians. Yeah. The Martin Care is getting ready to make a contribution. They asked us for a contribution. We're going to give them a contribution to help more Native Americans get a college education. Yes. Because knowledge frees everybody. Don't be like Muhammad say you want to be equal to the white man, get equal knowledge. Right. Let me tell you, you learn this religion like you're supposed to learn, you'll be equal to everybody. Right. Yes. Learn it the way you're supposed to learn, you'll be equal with everybody, anybody, everybody. Right. So nobody be your superior, all of us be on the level with you. God levels the playing field. Right. God does that.
That's it.
Yeah, so in my conclusion, here comes Muhammad now. And Muhammad, the prophet, he dislikes the world just as Jesus liked it. He dislikes the world as it was existed before him. And he goes away from his people with a great burden on his heart. He goes up in the mountain to get away from everybody. And he finds a little hole up in the mountain, a little cave. He goes into that little hole. And he doesn't know God. He doesn't know, call on God by the name Jehovah or call on God by the name of Allah. He knew none of that. He was not a member of any religious society. So he just calling on whatever is in control, whatever has made this world and caused things to be.
Channel 2. Okay. Christian Jews introduced several.
Let me stop right here.
Eric. He was named after that. He was called the Samaritan. Like you would say, along came the Chicago one. To be extended and expanded.
Okay. Unfortunately, that concludes this address. I could only locate part one and part two. And if there are any of you that would like to share what Allah bless you with from out of this wonderful address, we ask that you press one with on your phone and share what Allah has blessed you with from out of this address, Khalifa, the role of moral life. Praise be to Allah. Okay. Error code 225590. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam, Imam. How are you?
I'm fine. Praise be to Allah. Well, I'm fair to midnight. I like saying that now.
my daddy used to say that. This is Sister Rashida in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Alhamdulillah. This is a wonderful presentation you were playing. I think as Khalifa, the responsibility of each self and others as a community, I'm not sure I'm saying the right thing. Help me out here. I think after Imam Wardi Muhammad made transition, we got a little confused with our personal Khalifa, our personal responsibility, our personal journey, and what we were to do in the Ummah, in the community, how we would keep it together and move forward. And so we just got a little disoriented. And in that time passed, too much time passed, and now we're at a point to regroup again, to come together again, inshallah, so that we can move forward and have stations and programs like AM360 and CWSC and others online, that we would come together and remake this world, because we still got to remake the world, you know. We still got work to do, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And
yes.
And we know how, and Imam Wardi Muhammad, he has left a prescription for us to do that, but I think we got a little bit, and now we're back, we're coming together slowly but surely, and inshallah, we would recognize how important being the Khalifa of the earth. We're responsible for that's a big job, remaking the world. And when you see how the world is today, it's so much corruption, but it's yet desirable. You know, people desire to do the most ungodly thing. You say, what? And so we, as the Khalifa, we are responsible for just making it better. And we have to make it better, I think, by just doing what we know Allah has given us to do and not push it or force it or, you know, there are people writing bills and policy on being legal corruption. and so when man make his rules and commands and regulation, we really have to stand up for the word of Allah. And again, Imam Wardi Muhammad, He gave us an easy way out. He taught us how to do it, how to sell and come together with the big buy, and how to make a community, how to start the school. We have what we need. We just have to, I don't know if it's trusting each other or knowing who we are to get together to do this, but I think we're coming together. And I'll stop there. And thank you so much. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, Walaikum as-salam. I thank you, Rashida, praise be to Allah, for addressing that subject matter. There is a new awakening. You know, when you have a leader, you know, sometimes we look or we depend too much upon the leader to establish what he is enunciating to us, but we have been prepared for personal responsibility. And we have come into that now. Praise be to Almighty God. Yes, it sent a tremor through the association to have lost such, well, not lost, because he's not lost. He's still with us. We had to somewhat gain our footing. And habit is sometimes a hard thing to break. We were acclimated towards centralized leadership in the Nation of Islam, centralized leadership, and the imam, we accepted him as the leader of the Nation of Islam, and he knew that we were in an un-Islamic posture, El-Islam, it obligates the community and it obligates the individual. It obligates the individual. And we have come into that understanding, and we're moving along those lines now. There are very sound steps moving forward, accepting decentralized leadership. You know, I have said this before, and I'll say it again. Every masjid is autonomous. It stands on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have been given a way of life that Allah has preferred for us. They have I completed my favor upon you and have given you al-Islam as a way of life. So I live here in St. Louis, Missouri. I am a Muslim. I am part of a Islamic community. So sometimes I hear language like nationally. We need to have a big national movement, In some cases, alhamdulillah, but not in all cases. How can I better the life of the Muslim in my community? What is it that we can provide for ourselves here in St. Louis that enhances the Islamic life? And by way of that, we are adding value to the overall society. So I point to that. That personal responsibility. You, wherever you are, whatever you are calling from, praise be to Allah, you are responsible. You have a responsibility for that location or that area. Likewise, myself. Likewise, all of us. So we have moved to the position of personal responsibility. Allah says to us, that to each there is a goal that he points us toward, whether equipped lightly or heavily, but go forth and turn your character, turn your faces, turn your disposition toward this house, the connectivity. Kaaba means connecting, the connection between individual, husband and wife, family, community, neighborhood, the whole world. Allah says it is he that will bring you together. See? It is he. Those that have an interest in education, they can begin that pursuit right where they live at. And also connect with others that have the same proclivity. Praise be to Allah. So we have awakened from out of somewhat a habit of looking toward centralized leadership. Freedom means personal responsibility, the responsibility of charting and planning my own life. So I hope that helps with what you have.
it helped, but I want to ask this question. As you work in your community, as you work with other believers, at some point, collectively, don't we network and connect and continue to connect with each other, no matter how diverse we are?
Yes, ma'am. That is a prescription. Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. We get with like-minded people. Yes, ma'am. Networking is an excellent way of forward progress. No doubt about that. Yes, ma'am. That networking is very important, but we cannot escape personal responsibility.
I
hope that
helps. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. Praise be to Allah. Okay, area code 706-627. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please. 706-627. Please take your phone off of mute.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that again, as always. He's a very helpful brother. I love that. I love it. You always look out for it. And but everywhere, when we always reflect on that, regardless of what we talk about, Allah said, I do not leave you without guidance. So we have an answer to whatever comes up in our mind. We have an answer to it, but we have to be willing to say it and be willing to remember to detach yourself from it, because it's not what you're saying. You're saying what Allah says. So where we at right now, we need to have shura. But we're already working on what 360 and everybody is indirectly. We're trying to, how do we put ourselves in a position to talk to each other and make sincere allegiance with each other, the way of Prophet Muhammad exemplified it, that it can be done even amongst those who don't believe as we believe in Medina. He's showing us that we can do it when it comes to our time. Now, evidently, this might be our time, the believers in one God, and the Quran and life of the Prophet, to come together and sure and do what we've been telling everybody else. Let us come to common terms on how we're going to establish this halal reality. One example that we need to have is sure, if we are willing to pay, some of us pay, 28% income taxes every year, some of us pay 10 or 15, according to where you live at in the United States. But due to the fact that we don't have sure, we don't even establish ours. They got caught. So that everybody will be taken care of. You know, the Amish, the other different communities in the United States, the United States government do not bother them once they pay their taxes. If they want to set up a financial support system for their community, for their specific belief, for their specific way of life, what they want to accept, they have no problem with it. So, but we are not going to get where we're going until we really call each other to shore. Show you how merciful Allah has already been to us. We had a state shura. We had a masjid shura. We had a national shura structure. And we still have part of it, which is the national, the name might be wrong, and everything, but we know Satan is involved. But the structure is there by Allah's mercy to Imam Muhammad. He left us with two things, mosque cares, and he left us with the national sections of Imam. You know, when we take away the Imam, we'll see that we have sure. We have a vehicle to come together and discuss everything from the masjid level, which every individual in that masjid has a vote. Every individual in that state has a vote to bring that to the state sure, et cetera, et cetera. When we go back like we're doing now, we're reviewing, let us review what we already have, what the Allah has already left with us through the leadership of Imam Deputy Muhammad. Because our leader right now is Prophet Muhammad. And he's only in the Quran and in his own life example. That we had to bunk come to shore and set those two things on the table and first see what it says in the Quran, what we are supposed to do, and then look at the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by Allah's permission, executed that, then we do it. From the uswa to the manners, to the diplomacy, to the tolerance, to the patience, it's all right there for us. But we first understand, if we don't come to shore, just for the sake of us, because we're a benefit to the whole world. So until the Muslims learn how to be a mercy to each other, how to love each other, how to spend in Allah's call for each other, then the world is not going to see it, and we're not going to be able to apply it when we try to tell them that it's meant for them too. We need to establish zakat, is what I'm saying. You know, if we can pay 14, 20, 30% to the United States government, we should remember how it's being responsible as an individual is to pay your 2.5% on legal paper with lawyers and everything like that, so we don't have the experience of embezzlement and all like that until we get our own Islamic banks that we can trust, get our own sure structure in line like we're doing. So the answer is always here. We have to just be strong to accept that what Allah say, can't nobody say it better. What Prophet Muhammad demonstrate, can't nobody do it better. We can emulate it, we can follow it, and then we'll get to some of the goals we want to in an orderly, universal orderly manner and lead this world out of this best value. Because our leadership right now is sure. That's our leader. Imam Muhammad said, I give you Prophet Muhammad as my leader so you won't get hung up on me. And I've been trying to teach you sure since I've been here. Because that's where Allah wants you to do it. He want to make sure everybody have a say in what is the best way to go to establish his favor to ourselves first. When the world see how it's gone, unite us and save us from all this craziness out here, then they'll know that Al-Islam is the favor from the one God, the creator of all that, and then they'll fall in if they want to. Because nobody's supposed to coerce them. Nobody's supposed to force them. All we're supposed to do, like Imam Muhammad said, is make sure that everybody has the opportunity to hear what is in the Quran and get some kind of understanding of how it's demonstrated in the life of Prophet Muhammad. Then you make up your own decision what you're going to do. Because you're the ones going to pay the price for it on the day of Qiyamah. Just want to say, we always got an answer. We should never, ever talk that we don't know the answer to what we're going through. But what we're learning to do is to have faith that there really is one God. We don't have no doubt about the Quran, even though the Quran tells us, don't have no doubt about me. You know, there's no doubt in me. And then we have an example that there is no doubt. Look at Prophet Muhammad. He left a world of success, honesty, truthful in the world, had a wonderful, wonderful life example for the world to see when he became Allah's Rasul. And that's when the first thing he questioned in the center. Now, y'all used to believe that if I say this will happen, that will happen. Y'all say, yeah, no problem. Now that I'm telling you that I'm the messenger of Allah, now you got a doubt because of your not willing to share your individuality for the benefit of all. Just want to say that. I said that.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. We are, you know, presently conducting shura at this time. We are presently conducting shura. IWDM broadcast. That is a platform of Shura. A New Day for Al-Islam is a platform for Shura. The broadcast Study Al-Islam, hosted by our dear sister Fitra Muhammad, that airs every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We adjoin them in that production, and there are learned Muslims that come in and give presentations on a myriad of subject matter. We are conducting shura. Praise be to Allah. I believe you were alluding to a national shura board. I think that's what you were alluding, and I don't find anything wrong with that. But everyone,
no, that's not what I'm saying. So you don't run with that. That's not what I'm saying. So yeah, that's not what I'm saying. Though. But go ahead.
Yes, sir. So we are conducting shura on the Sharia Juma broadcast yesterday. We had Imam Yahya Abdullah conducted the the Juma, and his subject matter was, Al-Islam is on the rise in America. Al-Islam is on the rise in America. And through Almighty God's grace and his blessings to us, we, the African-American Muslim, is the tip of that spear. We are the ones that are in the lead in the dawah of Al-Islam and an example. There are Muslims that come from regions of the earth where Al-Islam is just taken for granted. You know, they are Muslims because they were born in a certain area, a certain country. And it just becomes somewhat, in some cases now, it becomes just passe. But when they come here and they observe the African American in his practice of Al-Islam, they themselves are amazed. They are saying, boy, how do you do that? How do you stay so pure to your faith in this country? So we are being observed, and we are an example of how to put Allah first and the life example of our beloved Prophet Muhammad. Whether we see, sometimes we're too close to the light that we get blinded by the light. But those that are a distance from the light, they recognize the advantages and the value of what we are displaying and demonstrating in front of the whole world. Praise be to Allah. So I just wanted to make that statement there, that and we have accepted personal responsibility. And in our surah, like we are discussing now, this is surah. Praise be to Allah. This is surah. And almost all of our broadcasts, we invite the listening audience to share their reflections, to share their opinion, to share what Allah has blessed them with. And we all benefit from that. We all benefit from mutual, praise be to Allah, mutual consultation. Part of this broadcast, I definitely implore the listening audience to take part in the presentations that we give here on American Muslim 360. That is sure. Your opinion, where this is the place where your voice is protected and your intellect is respected. So we are conducting shura, and I must say that you are a valuable contributor, praise be to Allah, to the shura that we conduct here on American Muslim 360. So I just wanted to say that there, in order to actually build the luxury housing, affordable luxury housing in Washington, D.C., that is a Muslim effort. And that facility will be named after Sister Clara Muhammad. It is called the Clara. Now, they were only able to achieve that and plan that because the participants in that area, in that interest, you can bet they conducted sure. They made sure they dotted every I, they crossed every T, they got all of the permits and regulations and all of that, and the financial help to do that. That requires sure. Praise be to Almighty God. What we see in the city of Medina in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, a burgeoning, growing, progressive Islamic community that are in connection with
other countries on the continent of Africa to establish financial ties, There is a plan to construct a boarding school in New Medina. That required shura, praise be to Allah. So, and they just held a retreat in that wonderful location, New Medina, in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. So we are making progress, and we are conducting shura. And all of us, praise be to Allah, have a personal responsibility to contribute, to the practice of shura. It is, if there is a shura held and you are present and you are a part of that shura, to withhold your opinion, to withhold your thoughts, to withhold your voice is violating the principles of shura. We all make our contribution. So I'm just saying that, yes, we are conducting shura, and praise be to Allah, and making progress along those lines, my brother. Thank you, Muhammad. Praise be to Allah.
Yes.
Okay.
If I could have 1 minute, I'll appreciate it. We don't need to forget about what Imam left us by Allah's permission also. Until we at least invite, and in a brotherly way, try to find out why Boss cares, why CPC, some of the things that have fell out of the system of Shura because of our personal misunderstandings of each other in our group. We have to mend that too. We have to get back to having Shura on how we're going to love for each other what we love for ourselves, so we can go back and pick up the pieces that our leadership left behind us. CARES was established for the purpose of taking care of every masjid that was underneath this umbrella and the people of those masjids. CPC was to develop businessmen on a high international level to where their 5% of high responsibility to CPC will pay for all the sadaqah that is needed by the little section of mosque here that where Imam Muhammad had established a growing process of how to become a zakat and establish zakat in our community. The national imams sectional is a structure that's come together when it's put up underneath the shura by those who believe amongst them will unite and help us pick up all the pieces that Shaitan thankfully then got away from us in this puzzle that we're putting together of the model community that we are required to establish. So we have to look at the progress that is being made today, but we cannot forget about the progress that's already been made, like the receiving of the Quran through Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We can't forget the Quran. Like Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a gift given to all the humanity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can't forget about him. We got to put these pieces together in the bigger sugar. Sure. Just want to say that.
Alhamdulillah, we do not want to make the mistake that was made in the Ummah. They put a lot of emphasis on Quran. I mean, they have Hafiz. They are able to recite the whole of the Quran. But what they left off was the character of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as we move forward, we want to carry with us the two best sources whereby we are successful, and that is the Quran and the life example of our Prophet Muhammad, who prayed the prayers and the peace be upon him. I would like to ask if we would to study the life of the Prophet Muhammad and the city of Medina. That is where the first Islamic community was established. Study that. See what was done. See how that was constructed. What made it so successful? Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. So anyway, I'll end right there. We got about 8 minutes of broadcast time left. I ask those of you that had heard this wonderful presentation, Khalifa, the role of moral life, if you would like to contribute to this conversation, we ask you to press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic. The operative word is moral. Okay, wait a minute. I see we have a caller on the line. Air code 334-419. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, Michael Hameen, return caller. What Imam, the body of work that represents Imam Muhammad, the body of work pointing towards institutional development, that body of work that is available to us. For instance, the fresh perception, you know, Prophet Muhammad in the Muslim world, by and large, is perceived in a way that has not kept up with the 21st century reality. And we are so blessed as associates of Imam Muhammad to have a leadership representing a fresh perception. The idea of zakat being a Muslim economic system is a fresh perception of the idea of zakat. You know, charity gives us a very narrow view of what zakat is, but that view is expanded by Imam Muhammad identifying it as the Muslim economic system. So that means we have to have our leadership, either those in front of us or those behind them who are men and women of productivity and resourcefulness, to probe that idea given to us in the Quran and demonstrated by Prophet Muhammad, to probe it, to bring out the reality of a Muslim economic system, just as he spoke towards education, institutional life, economics, education, governance, and all of that is kind of focused in the early stages in the family life. So focusing on developing and protecting the strong family life institutions. There's so much there. And in terms of the shura, you know, the imam identified how shura is to be represented. You know, those who are knowledgeable to speak on the issue, those are the ones that should have the floor. But you You create an environment, and this is my last point. You create an environment.
I have about 5 minutes left, Michael.
Yes, sir.
5 minutes.
Yes, sir. This is my last point. You create an environment in Shura where those who don't know are able to have their thinking processes stimulated and also allow for the process of inspiration or intuitive connection. You know, a kind of what has been called by the West synergy. You create a synergy situation, and I'll stop there. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Michael. Praise be to Allah. I want to now share with you a public service announcement of the upcoming broadcast following this broadcast here. Don't touch that dial.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic faith program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
Well, Hamlet and Lyon, we look forward for the broadcast of Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. Praise be to Allah. The Imam mentioned the tree of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil. And he identified that as opinions rendered outside of the religious moral life. The opinions rendered outside of the religious moral life, the society, ungodly leadership identifying what is good and what is bad for us. Our Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, it is reported that he have said that bad is that which wavers on the heart, even though a legal rendering has been given. Even though a legal rendering has been given. That legal rendering may come from atheists or mushriks. So we do not lean to what has been given through as a legal rendering unless it agrees with the filter of Islam and the life example of our Prophet Muhammad. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him. So we are confronted with that today, and we hold to what Almighty God have said, that which is good and that which is bad. Praise be to Allah. So we are grateful to all of you that attend these study sessions. I hope that they enrich you, that we enrich each other with the sharing, the mutual sharing of truth, and that we have patience and constancy with one another. Praise be to Almighty God. Allah. We came to you with the greetings of peace. We leave you this morning with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we purify intentions, keep our hearts right, remain regardful of Almighty God, Allah, and be thankful for what Allah has done, is doing, and will do for us. I leave you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum.